So Advent is a time of preparation. I loved what, who here was at the event in the Usher Hall last Saturday? And J. John saying, talking about the fact that you can enjoy the trimmings and the wrappings if you know what the gift is. Isn't that wonderful? He was asked by someone on, do you think Christmas is over-commercialized? And he said, no. And they said, there's a BBC interview. Have we got the right person? No, you can enjoy all of the wrapping and the trappings and the tinsel and the packaging so long as you know what the gift is. I thought, what a fabulous answer. Isn't that a great answer? If you know what the gift is. And the gift, of course, is Jesus. So we've been talking about a new tradition. And we've passed that. Did everybody, who here's got one of these? Okay, we gave out a gift at the start of Advent. Have you been using it? Brilliant, excellent. And so, dear Theo, it's just a copy of Luke's Gospel and Acts. I know there's some super keen people who are doing Luke and Acts. They get a gold star and a smiley face and some extra golden time, okay? So, as we work through chapter by chapter, now, just for complete honesty, I find this sort of thing really hard. It's easy to get a few days behind, but this time I've just about managed to do it, so long as after midnight still counts as the day before. And I've been able to keep up with the readings. And so we had this challenge from Facebook, and of course this challenge came from Joe Burns. And we're so thankful for Joe that he gave us that challenge before he went home to be with Jesus. We've also been working through Advent with the pictures that Ian Campbell has painted for each chapter of Luke. And I want to say again a big thank you to Colin, because Colin Young has been putting these up day by day by day, just pictures of people in Glasgow and people from all over the world who've gathered in Glasgow as giving meaning to each of those chapters, one of those stories. Have any of you been watching them? Okay, absolutely. I've been watching them too, although I tend to binge watch. Okay, I'm just saying, for honesty. But you can do that. You can watch two or three and hear the stories of the people. If you haven't watched them, go to Facebook and watch them. And if you do not have Facebook, find a young person and get them to take you to Facebook. Okay. To Gorebridge Parish Church's page. And you'll hear some wonderful stories. You'll get much more out of what we're doing in this series if you do so. Now, last week, Douglas was sharing about Jesus meeting with the undesirables. Is that right? And having meals with them, gathering in the places. It goes to the house of Simon the Pharisee. And all of these different stories. Jesus continues in that vein this week, doesn't he? Meeting with people, sharing with people, challenging the religious authorities. Some of them warming to him. Some of them starting to suspect that Jesus was trouble and plotting to do away with him. The fascinating thing, though, is nobody could really ignore Jesus. He seemed to be, as we say, a Marmite kind of person. You either loved him or you ended up really challenged by him. Now, it did come to me that as you're reading some of these sayings of Jesus, some of you are feeling quite challenged. Is this true? It's not easy, is it? And we'll get to that in a moment. But as we work our way through this week, what have we seen? Well, in Luke chapter 9, we had the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And as a perennial lover of food, that's my kind of miracle. Yeah? But my son came back, Simeon came back from school, and he said his RME teacher, religious and moral education teacher, had said, oh, the feeding of the 5,000, it wasn't really a miracle. It's just the wee boy shared his meal. And that inspired everybody else to share their meal. What do you think about that, Dad? And I said, well, Simeon, I was feeling a bit grumpy at the time, probably because I was doing the washing. I said, as I dragged the washing out the machine and chucked it in the dryer, okay? I said, Simeon, that's fine, maybe that's true, but if you're going to take all the miracles out of the New Testament, we better start with a resurrection, hadn't we? We better start with a resurrection. Because if there is no resurrection, then there is no hope in Jesus. And the feeding of the 5,000 is one of those amazing stories that they said. And anyway, Jackie Pullinger experienced the same thing in Hong Kong when they had something like five turkeys and a whole bunch of people appeared off the streets of Hong Kong for their Christmas dinner, and somehow there was enough turkey for everybody. Good story. So we had the story of Charlie Maz, who is a pastoral chef. That is not a misprint. A pastoral chef. That this guy was encouraged to come out of the sort of ministry that I'm doing to minister to people through cooking, and that as he cooks for them and works with them, he gives them some hope in Jesus at the Glasgow City Mission. Isn't that something? So he feeds them, and he feeds them. And he told his story of coming from Bristol and living a wild life of being a successful, proud young man, but then, you know, getting into all sorts of addictions and things of that nature, which caused his life to take a real downward turn. And here he is pictured with the people outside the Glasgow City Mission, either waiting to come in or just passers-by. So that was the story for Luke 9, the feeding of the 5,000. In Luke 10, we encountered the story of Jesus at the house of Mary and Martha. And as Ian draws out in his commentary on this, we don't hear the Lazarus story in Luke. We hear that in John. But you still get this thing where Mary and Martha are having a tussle about whether it's best to be doing the dishes or sitting at Jesus' feet. And you get that domestic tension there where they were both delighted to have Jesus come round, but there was a challenge about what to do when they were there. And when speaking to Martha, Jesus says this: you are worried and upset about everything. And I wonder if you found yourself in that position this week. You're worried and upset about everything. That up comes the anxiety, up comes the fear, up comes the anger or the irritation, whatever it may be. And Jesus is speaking peace into that situation. We also then had on the next day, we had Luke chapter 11. And talking about prayer, Luke 11 is where we get the Lord's Prayer in Luke's gospel. It's where we're told about the persistence of someone who has a guest and wakes his neighbor to get some food and says that it won't be because he's his friend, but because he's persistent, because he keeps bugging him. This is partly to do with the fact, of course, that in the ancient world, you didn't have a multi-roomed house. Yes? You had a house downstairs, and you maybe had stairs to your roof so you could sleep there if it was particularly hot. But if you were going to go get some food in your house, you had to wake up the children. And who wants to do that, right? Once you got them settled. I was visiting, Allie and Nathan have got a new puppy. And Allie managed to get the puppy. We all went to sleep. And I watched her shuffle across the floor with a sleeping puppy on her lap to put into the bed so as not to awaken the puppy. And Dan and I are left with that slightly patronizing, oh, bless them. Because we knew what awaited. How did you sleep last night, guys? Spot on. Oh, hey, great. That's it. That puppy stays. So, the audacity and the shamelessness of prayer, where we ask the Lord on behalf of another. That's what Luke 11 is filled with. And you get this wonderful story about Alex, who's a homeless guy, gives Ian Campbell, the artist, a gift of money. And he thinks, oh, how can I take money from someone who's homeless? And then he decides to buy a brush with that money and use that brush to paint this portrait of Alex, who's one of the regulars at the Olive Tree Cafe at Trans-Saint-George. Is a wonderful story. Again, you can watch it on the website. I love that phrase, though, the shameless audacity of prayer, that we just ask. We ask and we trust. Then we move to Luke 12. And in Luke 12, we got Fiona Morrison's story. Did any of you recognize Fiona when you were watching it? Fiona's been here. She used to be one of the Scottish workers with Tear Fund. And when we had a Tear Fund Sunday, Fiona came and shared about the work of Tear Fund. But she was a wee while ago diagnosed with breast cancer. And they were looking at Don't Worry. And that takes a whole different lens, because I know for many of you, you've been through the fires of cancer, of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. When she talks about how it's just, all you can see is just the next week of treatment. And that was a profound, moving thing. You can't really see it very clearly in the picture, but the embroidery thread has been used to pick out the tubes that are carrying the various drugs into her system in order to deal with the tumor. Extraordinarily moving account of Fiona's, where we get teaching of Jesus that we see in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus, like any good preacher, got mileage out of his teaching. Yeah? If you've got a good word to bring, do you share it once? Oh, you share it many times. Absolutely. Then we moved on to Luke 13 and the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. You got that wonderful image that mustard wasn't that common in those days, but if you got mustard in your garden, it was kind of like one of those things like rose bay, willow herb, or ground elder or something like that. Once it's in your garden, you're going to really struggle to get it out, which is a wonderful picture of the kingdom. When the kingdom comes into a place, when you bring Jesus into a place and it starts to get through the soil structure, starts to get... And that's what you are, wherever you are in the week. If you're prepared to trust Jesus, that will happen. That was Luke 13. And they were interviewing Gabriel, lady, just saying, the cook. And there she is kneading the dough. And of course, as the yeast works through the batch, as the mustard gets stuck in your garden, so the kingdom of God is just like that. Continue with Jesus' teaching. Luke 14. And the story of the great banquet, that's had the invitation, and Jesus, one of the key themes through this patch is that Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people, and he's saying, you guys, you're the ones who are invited, but you can't see the Messiah is here. And so I'm going to have to call people from highways and byways. People from all over the world, they're just going to have to come. Scots and Nigerians and English people and Welsh people. English people. We're going to have to call them all. And you've got this image of the great banquet. And there's Alistair Duncan. Do you remember Pete Gardner, some of you who are here, who was minister at Cranston Crichton Ford? Alistair's one of Pete's real friends. And... Alistair was talking about how they'd started Cafe Church, and they have a meal every week. They have lunch together every week at Tron St. George's. And this is a picture of them all gathering there, and they're talking about the wonder, having to have those conversations. And actually, it's a challenge, because some of us don't stay for a coffee, and I realize we've got things to go to. But if you do stay for a coffee, that's still part of the worship, because we're still interacting, and we're looking out for each other, and we get to know each other as we share with one another, as we spend time over food or a hot cup of something. And of course, today, if you're right on the ball, you'd have had Luke 15, which of course is about the prodigal son. And much of the work that's done around the Olive Tree Cafe, Glasgow City Mission, I mean, we have spoken so much about the prodigal son now. So you'll all be wondering, what links all these? Yeah? What links all of those different stories? Well, they're all Luke's gospel. That's a starter for 10. But here's where I want to take us today. In all of these passages in Luke's gospel, what Luke is presenting is Jesus speaking. Okay. But are we listening? When Jesus speaks, do we listen? We're going to come back to that, but first of all, let's get into the meat of part of what we were doing, what we were reading this week. And I want to go to Luke 12 this week and back to Fiona Morrison's story. But it is good that the Lord is with us. The Lord is with you is our theme. The angel Gabriel's words to Mary, the Lord is with you. It's good that the Lord is with us. Yes? Hello? Is the heating up a bit high? Lose a jumper, lose a jacket. Don't go further. Okay, if you're feeling a bit sleepy, if you've still got anyone got general election jet lag? Just me. Oh, you've got it so badly you can't even raise your hand. Oh, I'm so tired. Okay, so it's good that the Lord is with us. It is good that the Lord is with us. We're going to come back to that. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 12. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body's more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns. For God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little? Don't be concerned about what you eat and drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. We know this, don't we? If we spend any time sitting under the teaching of Jesus, we know this. Consider the lilies of the field. They don't sow, they don't reap. They're not farmers, and yet they just flourish. The birds of the air. Now, admittedly, some of you will be putting out pumpkin seeds and fat bowls to attract them to your garden. But they don't have to worry about that. They can just get on with being birds. So it is. God knows our needs. Yes? Okay. Do not worry. Just, I love that 12-step thing where they go, you know, my name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic. Okay? You got that? Yeah, and you're all going, is he? Text, share. Somebody be sneaking around the back of the manse to look at my red bin. Okay. <That's> But my name is Mark. I'm a worryaholic. Ooh, how big would that meeting be? Anyone here find themselves at that? Or are you worried about putting your hand up? Okay. I'm not cheeky at all. Actually, I don't think there's much more corrosive to our faith in the goodness of God than our worry. At least if you start hitting the famous grouse or the bucky or the white lightning or the Glen's vodka, there's evidence that you're in trouble. But when we hit the worry, oh, we have all kinds of socially acceptable ways of worrying. We do. And sometimes we just sort of worry share with one another, don't we? Anyone had a conversation here this week which was really just two people sharing their worries? Oh, don't worry when I've got a group for you. Okay. Oh, confession is good for the soul. Now, worry is corrosive to faith because we won't trust him. We won't trust him. Now you all feel a bit bad. Don't worry. You see, we like the idea that the Lord's with us. Yes? And when we don't want to be abandoned, we don't want to be like orphans who've lost their parents. It's good the Lord's with us, but is it always comfortable? No. Does Jesus love us as we are? Does he plan on leaving us as we are? No. That's the thing, isn't it? Discipleship means that God loves us, but he's got big plans on us becoming more like who? Jesus. And was Jesus a worrier? He had concerns. But concerns are different from worries. Being able to see what's wrong is not worry. Worry is the fear that nothing's going to happen about it or that we're going to be crushed in it. Yeah? That we're going to lose out. So it's not always comfortable when the Lord is with us, even though we want the Lord to be with us. Now, who here finds reading those Bible passages easy? Oh, I love you guys, okay? Who here finds it moderately difficult? Mm-hmm. Who here finds it really quite challenging? Okay, right, now I'm talking to you, right? And I'm one of you. God always speaks through his word. Do you hear me? God always speaks through his word. The trouble is as we read it, often we get hung up on the thing that we're worried about. Yes? You could read, a little birdie told me that someone was, oh, I read these, this is really hard to read. You know, you end up wanting to sell everything. You know, I'm just going to have to give everything away. I'm going to end up a homeless person myself. I'm going to have no house or car. I'm going to give away all my clothes apart from the ones I'm standing with, you know. And you can read it and you think, well, that would be an appropriate response. But is that really what Jesus is saying? But in that reaction, have we just found out that actually we quite like the stuff that we have and we're maybe hanging on to it a bit tight? You can be wealthy and generous and you can be poor and mean. You can be poor and generous and you can be rich and mean. It's the two do not go hand in hand. And I would love to have a church full of people who are generous-hearted and open-hearted and we're ready to respond. And God always speaks through his word, so there's always a challenge. The tricky thing is when we've got that challenge, that we bring that challenge to Jesus and we're dead honest and we say, oh my goodness me, that looks like you want me to give all my stuff away. Do you want me to give all my stuff away? And usually at that point we hear silence, yeah? Because in our head we're going, we're terrified. We're absolutely terrified. All our worldly goods on eBay and Gumtree that we're just going to get rid of it all. And in the background, maybe the Lord's saying, look, you've got a bit extra. What about slipping 100 quid in a brown paper envelope? When you walk in the dog, stick it through this door. What about maybe, you know, you said you were going to support that charity. Why not look them up? And don't just give them a one-off gift. Just figure out how you can tuck that in. I'll look after you. What about that family? You know they're going to be struggling. Why not invite them around for dinner? And then you can feed them all up so the kids won't eat for a day. And in the background, God is always speaking through his word. And do you know what? I think we know fine well when it's him. Because it's the voice you can't hear, but you can hear just fine. You with me? Because it doesn't sound like our panic. God always speaks through his word. Now, God always spoke through his word to the prophets, to Isaiah, unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, he'll be mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and there'll be no end to his reign. Spoke to Zechariah about the name of John and then that incredible outburst of praise that he gets, having been struck dumb because he wouldn't believe the angel when he spoke to him. Spoke to Mary, you're a most highly favored lady. The Lord is with you. You will bear a son and you will name him Jesus. Or Joshua, that's really what Jesus is. Yeshua, the one who saves, that's what it means. And he will save his people from their sins. He spoke to the disciples. That's what we're in just now. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the religious authorities, speaking to the crowds, sharing with them, sharing with them, sharing with them. And of course, if you are serious about following Jesus, you too are one of his disciples. And when he speaks to the crowds and when he speaks to the 12, he's speaking to me. God always speaks through his word. Think about the incarnation. Go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God's word is not just an utterance, it's a person. It's Jesus, and he's wonderful. Do you hear me? He will never ask us to do anything without him with us. He'll never ask us to do anything without providing the provision for the vision. He will never ask us to do something that is beyond our capability, but he will almost always ask us to do something that will drag our money backsides out of our comfy sofa and make us even just a little bit uncomfortable. Do you hear me? Right. How would I know? I sometimes think the disciples, probably when Jesus had gone to sleep, sort of, they had a conversation at the campfire going, this is great, isn't it? I mean, that, you know, that lame person and that blind person, that was absolutely amazing. But what's all that stuff about not worrying about anything? What are you going to do about the Romans? And those guys at the back, those Pharisees, they look a bit cross. And Jairus is delighted. I mean, we saw his daughter raised from the dead. That's absolutely amazing. But some of his compadres are looking a bit shifty. And I'm sure they were panicking just like you and I would be panicking. Yeah? But Jesus had his stuff together. Right. We make our way through. God always speaks through his word, even when we don't think we can hear him. Have anyone here ever experienced a time where you've really needed to hear from God and you don't think you can't hear him? Oh, look at that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. A few words about that. He's always speaking. But sometimes he has to speak to us through other people. Sometimes he speaks to us through a sunset. Sometimes he speaks to us through circumstances. Sometimes he speaks to us in ways that we do not comprehend. God always speaks through his word. Now, the thing is, are we listening? I'm an extrovert by nature. I like to talk. I do. But I felt rather challenged when someone said to me, God gave you two lugs and one mouth. And when I pray, I often think about the speaking side of it. And then I'll think, Lord, I'm not sure what to pray. I'm not sure the angels are having their kills at me, you know. Either that or there's big palm faces, you know. Oh, here he goes again. Just wished. Be quiet for a while. And listen. Even if we're worried about what he might say. Okay. Are we worried about the general election? What do you mean, boo? How can you say boo about a general election? No, I disagree, Richard. And here's why I disagree. Having a vote is something that many people in the world do not have. People from all over the world, we think living here is lousy. You try living somewhere like the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or living in Venezuela, or living in any number of countries in the world where there's been instability and trouble. We need, in fact, this, I keep saying this to us, we need to be thankful about what we have, even though we have concerns. Are you with me? We need to be thankful. There are maybe 36 countries in the world that enjoy the stability that we have, and we are very blessed to live here, and we need to give thanks for that. However, the general election is challenging, isn't it? I would guess that in this congregation are people who voted for every party that you could think of. I think so. And some of you are going, oh, there's no, nobody could follow Jesus and vote Tory. Surely. Surely. If you vote Tory, you grow horns and a tail. And I'm sure Boris Johnson is, you know, maybe in Papua New Guinea that says Beelzebub. All right, okay. No. And others of you will be thinking, oh, nationalists, can we just, really, you know, Brexit's one thing. Imagine if we split up the UK, that'll take years, right? And then there's all of us have got our challenges, haven't we? Now, first thing, would you please reach out to someone you know who voted differently from you and put an arm around them? Whether you think they did well or not. Oh, there we go. Hey, there we go. Lovely. Bit of love going on there. Now you're all wondering. We all know what Colin voted. But, because actually, Colin, do you know what? I really respect and love Colin for his political views, even though they're different from mine. And they are on certain issues, but they're not on other issues. Are you with me? First thing, and this was something that did the rounds when people were concerned in the States about Donald Trump being elected, though actually, in some ways, Donald Trump has been less willing to go to war than any of his predecessors in living memory, which is, you know, if you don't just read his tweets but read his actions, that's been remarkable, whatever you think of him. But God works through rulers no matter what. When Paul wrote, pray for those in authority over you, the emperor at the time was Nero. You might want to look him up on Wikipedia. It didn't go so well for us when Nero was emperor, okay? I'm not going to go into the details because you have lunch coming. But God can work through rulers good and bad. We pray for them nonetheless. And we pray for those who have suffered, and we pray for those whose cause perhaps at the moment has been advanced, but then, whether you believe him or not, Mr. Johnson said something that I think is true, that we are not the masters, but we are the servants. And if he follows that dictum, he will be following in the footsteps of my boss, Jesus Christ. He may not, he may. Pun not intended. So, the general election. We need the love of God to break through in this nation, do we not? So we need to pray that whatever happens, be it in Scotland or be it in the United Kingdom or be it in the European Union or Europe wider and the rest of the world, we need to bring those concerns to God so they're not worries and that we can trust him for the way ahead. And that's all I have to say about that. God always speaks through his word. Are we listening? Sometimes, yeah? Sometimes we listen. And I thought it'd be good to give you some affirmation. Are you ready to get a well done and a thumbs up? Here's a few wee pats on the back. I was looking at these slides and I was thinking, oh, that's amazing. In Luke 14, talks about the great banquet. What have we got happening on Christmas Day? A Christmas meal, okay? For like pretty much everyone who's here. We're going to be feeding on Christmas Day. Sonny, Mike, thank you. Still time to sign up. And I tasted those testers, and they were awesome. So we can see the great banquet in the Christmas meal. That was listening to God. That was Karen listening to God. And lots of us had thought about it and thought, there's just no way we're doing anything on Christmas Day. Okay? The feeding of the 5,000. What are we going to do on the 16th of January? We're going to invite people to dinner and to look at the bigger questions of life. And Kate's going to be our pastoral chef. We're going to be looking after people as they come through that door. And we're praying that people get to meet Jesus for themselves. Well done us. We've heard God about Alpha. And I mean, we've run over 20 Alphas now. The Chaz Christingle thing. Now, did anyone look on Facebook and see that there was a lady called Amanda said her daughter has just started chemo? Are they known to you? Absolutely. It's very moving. And we're going to take a moment, just in a moment, to pray for Amanda's daughter. But do not worry. We're going to run the Chas Christingle service. We're going to raise funds so that children with life-limiting illnesses can spend time in a wonderful place in Rachel or Robin House. Well done. Well done. See you there, 6:30 next week. Father, we want to lift Amanda's daughter to you. Pray for your healing grace upon her. Would you choke off those tumors in Jesus' name? May her body be cancer-free in the mighty name of Jesus. And may we hear a good report. We don't even know her name, but she is loved by you. And we pray that you would reach into that situation and that the kingdom of God would be manifest in her young body in Jesus' name. Rescue her. Amen. So we're doing the Chas Christingle. There's a thing that, well, we'll get to that in a moment, but what about for us? Are we hearing Jesus for us? He always speaks through his word. Can we hear him for ourselves? What about for us? And I thought Fiona Morrison said this wonderfully. She talked about how people immediately said, well, we're going to pray for your healing, but the thing she wanted prayer for was for peace and courage in the face of what she was facing. But she said this, are you listening? This is from a lady who has stared cancer in the eye, as many of you have. She said this, develop your relationship with God until you can say, death, where is your sting? Live life now, fearless of death, trusting in the goodness of God, trusting in him that he will speak and guide and shape and hold you through all of life's challenges. We said this Advent, and we're drawing to a close now. We're going to speak about the humanity of Jesus. Is there anything more human than a conversation? That Jesus speaks to us as we read his word, as you get your copy of Dear Theo out, as you watch the video on Facebook, as you contemplate the picture that Ian Campbell has painted, as you take time to listen for the voice of God in that chapter of Luke, he will be speaking to you. But will we listen? It is good, my friends, that the Lord is with us. And he always speaks through his word. But are we listening? Let's pray.